Jim Packard with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us today as we switch to talk about growing grapes and making wine in Wisconsin with Philippe Cocard, who is the president and winemaker of Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac and Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. More about what Philippe is up to at Wollersheim.com. Philippe, again, pleasure to see you.
Hello, Jim.
We were just talking about invasive species, and I wondered, out on, in the vineyards, are you particularly concerned about any of these invasives?
Not really. Vineyards establishment will last for... You will set up a vineyard for 20 or 30 years or 50 years. You know, our oldest vine are 35 years, and they are thriving. We do watch weed competition early on when the vines are babies for the first 2 or 3 years. We also use the glyphosate or Roundup-based herbicides around the plant, underneath the vine. We try to keep the woods and the brush line away from the vineyards because of bird habitat or deer habitat. But otherwise, you know, the vineyard is a nice environment. You know, we see birds and bees and all sorts of animals.
If you'd like to join the conversation with questions about growing grapes, making wine, all you have to do is give us a call at 800-642-1234. It's been 20 years since Prairie Fumé first came on the scene. How many bottles of Prairie Fumé have been produced since that time?
Wow.
I know you just figured it out.
Well, actually, Julie did, and I, you know...
Let me see if I can go to the... stuff off of the Wollersheim.com.
Either in the newsletter or, and I know it was a question for our open house when we introduced the question, and it's got to be in the millions.
In the millions. Yeah. It's like between 3 and 4 million bottles have been produced in
most likely.
The most successful wine ever produced in Wisconsin.
By far. And it is also one of the best-selling wine in the state of Wisconsin, ahead of Beringer White Zinfandel and ahead of many wines. So Prairie Fumé has done extremely well for us as well as the state, the Wisconsin wines.
How many double gold medals has Prairie Fumé received in that 20-year span?
I don't remember. Hard question.
It says six.
Yes.
On your calendar.
I would say six or seven, and it has, I think, three really grand awards that are even grander than double gold medals.
Double gold. Talk about that hierarchy of medals.
Well, medal, when we enter the wines in competition, the sole purpose of that is recognition, is have your peers and the customer judge the wine. You know, internally, you know it is a good wine, but you like to be reminded or you like to be told by others. And so we enter the wine in competition throughout the United States. And I think we might enter it to around between 25 and 35 competition, national and international wine competition. So the wines are tested among Chardonnays and Riesling and Sauval Blanc and Pinot Noirs and Cabernets and so on. Sometimes you will compete against 250 wines. Sometimes you might compete against 1,000 wines. They have either a point system, you know, 85, 90, 92, 95 points, or they have a ranking of bronze, silver, gold. When all the judges, let's say six of them or 1,000 of them, each of them have awarded a gold medal, then it becomes a double gold medal. So let's say 10 judges have given a gold, but 2 didn't, then it remains a gold. But if 12 out of 12 have awarded a gold medal, that's how you get into the double gold. double gold medals at a given wine competition, you will have about anywhere from 1,500 wine to 2,000 wines. A double gold medal is awarded only to a dozen wines. On top of the double gold medal, you have a sweepstake award or a grand champion or a blockbuster wine. And Parfumé has three or four of those titles. San Francisco Wine Competition has awarded Orsham Winery as one of the six most recognized wine in the nation for the number of gold medals that Parfumé has received. The Parfumé was Blockbuster Wine of the Year in 1995. So it started a long time ago, and then last year we got a sweepstake award from a California wine competition that was only awarded to four other wines.
Do you think that was your best Parfumé?
Yes, actually, you know, the beauty of it and what I really enjoy is that from the first 900 gallons of Parfumé that were produced 20 years ago to today, where Parfumé is about 70,000 gallons, over 350,000 bottles just of Parfumé, the medals are still coming and more. Some years are a little bit crispier, tighter. Some years are a little bit softer and warmer. As winemakers, it is our duty to express the best taste of the growing season. And every given year, we get from two to five gold medals, sometimes a double gold medal, sometimes a grand sweepstake award. And 07 was really good. 08 is really nice as well. So,
nice as well. Talking with Philippe Cocard of Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, and let's go to Blair, who's on the road somewhere wondering about how to get started. Hi, Blair.
How's it going? My question is about testing varieties and whether you can, through that, you know, if you can plant maybe like three varieties, and then when you find a good grape, can you take those plants and say, you know, make those plants into, you know, 5 or 10 acres of plants?
Where would you be doing the growing of these grapes?
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wow. Actually, my answer won't really help you. And I will try to address the question in two ways. Here in Wisconsin, we have just started a grape grower association, and we had a board meeting on Tuesday. The state of Wisconsin has three experimental stations with University of Wisconsin doing test plot on table grapes, eating table grapes, as well as wine growing grapes. So they have a trial in three different parts of the state as which cultivar will make it here in our harsh winter condition. What we have to worry here in Wisconsin is the cold winter, which will force us to use winter hardy grapes, such as a Foch, a Frontenac, a Marquette, a La Crosse, a San Pepin, and so on. So those are being evaluated. Minnesota has done an outstanding job, and they have a great program for winter hardy grape breeding program. When it comes to Kentucky being so much farther south, you have an array of choices, which is 20 times ours. So I would say check with local wineries, check with your extension agent, and they will help you and steer you the right direction. But I would say you might be able to grow Vitis vinifera, such as a Riesling or a Northern, and some of the French American hybrid, Chancellor, Charlois, Lando. But you are a lot warmer than we are, so you should not have many problems.
Right, right. And as far as starting your first crops, what's the best way to take, say, you know, 10 plants and make them into 100 plants? 10 vines.
That's fairly very easy, actually. Once you have found the varietal that you like, let's say it's going to be Riesling for you, then you can take some of the cuttings and you can propagate those in the spring of the year. So you will take the cuttings sometime in January or February. You will... And there's a specific way of taking the cuttings, which is like a four node, like a little stick. And you will shave the two middle buds. You will cut flat through the bottom one. And in the spring of the year, you plant them into like a little nursery. They will root at the bottom. The top buds is sticking out of the ground and will bud out. And then you can transplant them the following spring. And with one vine, you can have 30 or 50 different cuttings. So that's how we propagate vineyards. You could also buy rooted vine directly from a grape nursery. It will take you about 3 years to establish a vine properly. The fourth year, you should get a crop, or you can get a crop. And the fifth year, it's a quote-unquote a bearing, a fruiting vine.
Blair, thank you very much for the call. We're going to go check on the latest news and come back and take more calls. And if you'd like to join in, we have lines open for you at 800-642-1234 as we talk about growing grapes and making wine in Wisconsin with Philippe Cocard, who's the president and winemaker of Oldersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac and Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. More about what they do at Wollersheim.com. I'm Jim Packard, and this is the Ideas Network. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard, in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network, and we're happy to welcome Philippe Cocard to the microphone. He's the president and winemaker of Oldersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, and you can find out all about what they're up to at Wollersheim, Wollersheim.com. Philippe, again, pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you.
There was a wonderful article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Ann Schomburg about the Cocard brothers' love wine and family. And about a month ago now, you got a visit from your brother.
Yeah, my brother Jean-Francois, he's the youngest of six of us kids. He has a twin sister, Claire, and she's on the west part of France near Bordeaux. I'm here in Wisconsin, and Jean-Francois is in Italy. Doing about exactly what I have done at Wollersheim Winery. He's manager of a winery in the Piedmont area near Milan. Mm-hmm. And they grow Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Cabernet, Bonarda. Bonarda is what the region is known for. It's not very well known here in America. You will see few Bonardas from Argentina. Or Brazil, very few in California, but he does extremely well. Bonarda is a native grape of that region, he's really enjoying the wine business, and wine has been in our families for maybe 400 years, so we don't really know how far back it goes.
Yeah, it's just back there a long way. If you'd like to join the conversation and talk about growing grapes, making wine, the number is 800-642-1234. And Bridget in Seymour is next. Hi, Bridget.
Hello. I have a question about my sister's grapes that she just planted last weekend or the weekend before, about 75 vines. And the neighbor helped out with his electric auger, and then... Now they think they've got the holes too deep because they've settled. And she thought maybe they needed to lift them back up. I told her, well, yeah. And then I got to hearing about how you can take grafts and things, so maybe they don't need to lift these things up.
Long as the head is not buried, you know, we advise all the grape growers to plant the vine a lot deeper than it is thought to be. And when you see a rooted vine, the roots will be at a 10 or 12 inch depth, and only the head of the vine is sticking above the ground. So if the head is not buried, I don't think it's a big issue. You could just dish out gently with a hoe or a shovel, dish out a little bit by the vine and not worry too much about it.
They're also going to install a drip system this weekend. Do they need something like that for the first year or two?
No, you don't.
They live in Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, okay. We're not talking Wisconsin here. Yeah, I would say eventually they will need a drip system. That would be nice. The vines will not require a lot of water, not require a lot of nutrient either. But a drip system will be good. It's nice to get them established well the first 3 or 4 years. Focusing on the root system is the key, not so much the upper part of the... I mean, the upper part will go with the roots, but a good establishment of the root system. And I'm glad to hear that they are planted deeper than shallower. Planted deeper will allow them to resist better against drought conditions.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Bridget, thank you for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's see what's on Lisa's mind in St. Germain. Hello, Lisa.
Hi there. I love Wallersheim wine to begin with. I bought a bottle of iced wine 2006 about 3 months ago, intending to drink it right away for a special occasion because it is one of the most expensive bottles of wine I've bought, but and haven't drinking it, and was wondering how long will it be good for, and it's been chilled since I bought it. So
Actually, you don't have to chill it.
Wine chilled, so...
Yes, I mean, it is better chilled, but if you are planning to drink it in a few years, you could bury it you could put it into your basement, and it will last a very, very, very long time.
Okay.
Ice wine is one of those grapes that, quote-unquote, is abused by the winter, and it is already... oxidized, it is already nothing else could happen to that wine, and that's why ice wine will age 10, 20, 30, 40 years. A lot like port wine. Ice wine is something we certainly can do in Wisconsin. We cannot grow Chardonnay and Cabernet, but ice wine we can do because we have the freezing conditions. I would say don't rush into it. You have plenty of time.
Okay.
And when you want to enjoy it, you can drink it cold in little sipping glasses. Share it with people that are really into it and people who you love really dearly. So they share your enthusiasm and understand the wine.
That's my intention. Well, thank you very much.
Lisa, thank you very much. What's the grape that goes into an ice wine?
Actually, ice wine, for this part of the Midwest, what we have found at Wallersheim Winery to work the best is called St. Pepin. It is actually a native Wisconsin grape developed by Elmer Swenson in Osceola, Wisconsin. University of Minnesota has expanded the breeding program, but St. Pepin is the only one that can take the abuse, the freezing and thawing, has a skin thick enough that it can hold the juice and hold the berry together until the harvest time. Other grapes, such as La Crosse, the skin is too thin and it won't make it. La Crescent, same way, won't hang on the vine, as well as the Saint Pepin.
And the Fauche, which I had somehow believed was the backbone of most of your wines, including the Prairie Fumée, that isn't the case, is it?
No, Maréchal Fauche is a red grape. And Bob Wollersheim in 1972 had gotten a lot of advice from some of the pioneers in New York State at the time that it might be or will be or could be a good grapes. And 35 years ago when Bob started, Fauche really did extremely well for us at Wollersheim Winery. Today, a lot of startup vineyard and winery have other choices, such as Frontenac and Marquette. Fauche is still planted. We have the biggest acreage of Fauche in the upper Midwest, I may say. And we do six different wine with Fauche. We do a new red, Prairie Sunburst Red. We do a Prairie Blush, which has won as many medals as the Prairie Fumée. We do the Ruby Nouveau, which is a Beaujolais Nouveau tradition. Domaine du Sac, like a Rhone style. Domaine Reserve, a big red, with the vines are 35 years old for the Domaine Reserve. Age 1 year in the barrels, very traditional. And we also do a port wine with Fauche.
With that Fauche. Mm-hmm. So in the Prairie Fumée, then, is it the Seval?
Seval Blanc. Seval Blanc is a French-American hybrid that was introduced, like the Fauche, actually. They are both French-based, and they were introduced in the state in 1930s about. And because they are winter hardy and because they are disease resistant to a lot of funguses such as downy and powdery mildew.
All right, let's go to Charlie in La Crosse and see what's on his mind. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I'm kind of experimenting with some grapes here, and I was looking for a grape that would be suitable for winter wine, and I heard you mention the St. Croix as being would work well for you. Of course, we're a little colder up here, and then some other ones that didn't, but I didn't hear you mention Frontenac.
Actually, are you talking ice wine, a white?
Wine, period.
Ice wine?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not say St. Croix. I said St. Pepin.
Pardon me, yes, yeah. That's what you said.
Saint Pepin. There are some wineries experimenting or making ice wine with red grapes, and Frontenac will do that. There is a Frontenac Gris that has been on the market for the last, I would say, shy of 10 years, more like 5-6 years, that seem to generate a lot of interest, and I think very promising. So I would not be afraid to plant some Frontenac Gris as well as some Saint Pepin. I would say those are the two safe choices. Down the road, you might see a Brianna or Petit Ami that are being experimented with. But a Frontenac Gris and Saint Pepin, I would recommend.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Charlie, thanks very much for the call. And if you'd like to join in, we have lines open for you at 800-642-1234 as we talk with Philippe Cocard about growing grapes and making wine in Wisconsin. We had tried to get representative of the newest winery in the state to join in today, which I believe is like the 52nd winery in Wisconsin. Certainly in the time that you've been here, winery growth has been exponential.
Exponential is the word. I recall 25 years ago having less than 10, maybe 7 or 8 wineries, and a lot of us, or a lot of them are still around. Spurgeon and Van Stiel in Algoma, Door Peninsula Winery in Door County, Orchard Country, White Winter, Stone Mill was bought out by us and became Cedar Creek Winery at Cedarburg.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the founder of the Wisconsin wines. And today, 47, 52 wineries in Door County, as well as the western part of the state, along the Mississippi River, there's a dozen wineries and doing well, starting sizable vineyard, anywhere from 5 to 20, 25 acres of grapes. Concentrating a lot on the new grapes, such as Marquette, Frontenac, Frontenac Gris, St. Pepin, La Crosse, and so on. There is a every state in the nation
has
a winery.
Yeah.
Grape growing has exploded in the Midwest. Actually, the growth we've seen here in Wisconsin is the same in Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
All those. I mean, think of Iowa having less than 10 wineries, and now you're talking 80 or 90 wineries.
What would it take financially to start a winery? You mentioned 5 to 25 acres maybe of grape growth.
About $1 million and getting broke.
No. It's like farming.
No, no. I mean, grape growing is farming. You are dealing with all the weather issue, from a winter kill to a drought to watering vine to a storm. So having all your eggs in one basket could be financially strenuous. So it's nice in our case, yes, we have a vineyard, but we also buy grapes outside of Wisconsin, which the law allows us. And with pride, we don't buy finished wine. We produce everything, meaning mm-hmm. that we have fermented everything that we are selling. We bring raw product, grapes or juice from other states, such as a Chardonnay, Riesling, that cannot grow here in Wisconsin. But we also have our 25-acre vineyards. Starting a winery does require, I would say, a lifetime commitment. It just won't happen.
This is not a hobby farm.
This is not a hobby. No, it's. I mean, it's all matter of timing. You know, timing of bud break, timing of pruning, timing of training canes, timing of tying the shoots, a fungicide, applying herbicide in case there is a weed competition, harvest. You can't plan the weekend around a Packer game or a Badger game. No, it's time to pick the grape. Let's pick the grape. The winemaking is no different. Length of fermentation, what kind of container, tanks, pump, and hoses. All said and done, you know, you could have a small winery with 5 acres of grapes and a couple $100,000 will get you going. Tanks, press, and a lot of it can be done by hand, you know, mm-hmm. hand bottling line, hand bottling machine with 4 spouts and a hand corker and a hand capsule shrinker, hand labeler. We've started that way not so long ago. So
it can be done.
Yeah.
All right, Michael in Janesville, let's get you into the conversation. Hi, go ahead.
Hello, Philippe.
Hello.
I'm interested in planting about a 1 acre vineyard. And I was wondering, ideally, what can we do for soil preparation prior to planting? Or is just drilling a hole with an auger sufficient?
No, it is not sufficient. And unfortunately, we see too much of that going on. And then the roots will just not expand and the vines will vegetate for 5, 6, 10 years and so on. So the best advice on a commercial scale and 1 acre is getting of such a size. Number one, you have to make sure corn has not been planted for at least 10 years because of pre-emergent herbicide that might still be in the field. If you are on a hay field, then you are good. What we would advise you, number one, is to do a soil sample. take it to your extension agent and look at your pH range, 5.8 to 7.2, you are good. And then organic matter and all the other nutrients. What we would recommend you is most likely to round up in the fall what's growing, do a deep chisel plowing of the field, a light grooming, and you could plant a cover crop such as rye or oats just to have to minimize erosion. In the spring of the year, you would lay out your field, spacing, you would square your field and set the spacing 10 feet between the rows, about 7 feet between the vines. You would have about 600 some vines per acres, and within 4 years, you could get 3 to 4 tons of fruit. So that's the commercial approach. Because you will have chisel plowed and the ground will be firm but soft enough that you will be able to stick a planter down and shove or push your vines on which you will have pruned the roots close to about 1 inch. You will be able to push the vine in that hole, close that pocket, and walk away to the next vine. And we have seen 99% survival or takeover planting it that way.
Very good. Would you? How about orientation? North, south, or east, west rows?
North and south is preferred because you, as the leaves panel grow, you have the morning sun on the east side and the afternoon on the west side. It does make a difference in cloudy years. We have some of each at the winery. And on a rainy, cloudy year, we see that the east-west row have about 0.5% to 1% less sugar than going north and south. So if you can go north and south, but your main concern is erosion. So if you have to plant with the contour, go ahead. If you have to plant to minimize water erosion, that's your number one concern.
Very good. Thank you very much.
All right, Michael. Thank you. And Deborah in Milwaukee, let's go to you next.
Hi, Mr. Cocard. Is it Cocard?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I read an article about you. I think it was, I don't know, a few years ago, and I found it fascinating. And so I just wanted to mention that, but I grew up in the Upper Peninsula, and my father made wine, mm-hmm. and we would pick dandelions and choke cherries, and so I was exposed to it at an early age. And now one of the houses where my father would help the woman and her handicapped brother, where he grew a vegetable garden and a grapevine, the grapevine is still growing there to this day, and that was 50 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm not sure what kind it is, what variety.
It's likely to be Concord. Is it purplish?
For some reason I thought it was green, but I'll have to this summer examine it.
Yeah. Check, I would say, late in the fall. I mean, you will see the Concord grape will start turning pink or purple sometime first week of August. And then after that, they will stay pink and purple until picking time, which is middle of October.
I also want to say I've not had a lot of fumes. I don't see a lot of fumes. I haven't tried yours yet, but I remember 15 years ago at a dinner party having a Dry Creek Fumé Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered what is the difference between my favorite now is it's a Chilean it's a 120 Santa Rita and it's a Sauvignon Blanc, and I find what is the difference between a Sauvignon and Fumé, and there's one other, I think.
Just a few seconds to do that.
Okay, Sauvignon Blanc and Fumé Blanc are one alike. They are the same. It's just a different name. Our Prairie Fumé is in the same concept, or like a Pinot Grigio. All those wines are very fresh, fruity, light, vibrant, full of life, and That's the concept of the Prairie Fumée.
June 20th and 21st, you've got the public invited to picnic at the winery.
Family Prairie Fumée Family Picnic Days. Yeah, it's a new event that we created last year where we open the front lawn by the house. We have picnic table. Bring your own picnic. We have wine available and a lot of fun activities.
June 20th and 21st. Thanks, Philippe, for being here today. Look forward to seeing you again. And coming up tomorrow, Garden Talk with Bob Tomasch here on the Ideas Network.